Recording at 11:05.
Okay, let's, all the ones under 4A, we're gonna start voting. So let's go to 4B, case number 19-11, Sterling Hester, who's the clerk's assistant. Sterling, you're here, why don't you come on up, have a seat? Okay. So let's start by having board members and staff, council introduce themselves.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Becky Hunter, professional member.
Kara Bustillo, professional member.
Mark Cornwell, professional member.
Mish Gromick, professional member.
Michael Clinton, public member.
Mona Baskin, assistant attorney general, representing the board.
Karen Donahue, executive director.
Monica Crowley, licensing administrator.
Michael Ballard, investigator.
And so why don't you introduce yourself?
Sterling Hester, PTA.
Okay. This interview is being held pursuant to ARS 32-2046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if violation of any of the board's statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any or all of the following disciplinary action. One, issue a decree of censure. Two, place restrictions upon a licensee's practice. Three, issue a civil penalty of not more than $500. Issue other disciplinary action. Five, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of continuing education as specified by the board. If the board finds the violation or possible violation of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant disciplinary action, the board may issue a non-disciplinary advisory letter. If the board finds that there was no violation of the statutes and rules, the board may dismiss the case. If the board finds that the violations warrant suspension or revocation of the license, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. All those who will be having testimony, which include you, raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, and may the record reflect that Mr. Hester and Ms. Donahue have taken the oath.
Good.
And Mr.
Oh, do
Mike,
we have?
You took the oath too, right?
Good.
No, you did not.
You did not. It's not.
No, this is my case.
Would you like to make an opening statement? Okay. So, declining that, we'll open it up for discussion, questions. Oh, that's a good idea. Thank you very much. I'm glad I have people keeping me on track. So, you want to give us a synopsis of?
Take some village. So, complaint 1911 and an informal hearing. The allegations are engaging in substandard care, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees, making misleading, deceptive, or untrue representations, and failing to maintain adequate patient records.
Okay. So, does any board member have questions for Mr. Hester?
Mr. Hester, do you remember that day, March 24, 2018?
No, sir.
You don't have any recollection of that day?
No.
So you don't know if you saw those patients or not?
I remember I went on there, I did see the patients, but I don't remember that exact date for them. Like I said, I talked to a parent on the phone, been so many places like every day. Sometimes we didn't have a day off in a row, but that's probably some of my fault for not taking a day off. And the rest of my mind, but in the long run, it's just like everything flows together, and I can't remember a specific day of this specific place, because I'm a traveling therapist, and that's what I've been since I started. And I go to different facilities all over the place, so I don't remember exact date. But I do remember things about that day where I talked to the director of nursing that day, asking where my badge was, because I actually forgot in the car, and I was there. And then I had to leave for lunch, and the therapist, I guess, called my employment agency, asking where I was. And I asked her, I was there at the place, and that she wanted to meet with me. They said no, so I just kept on about my business that day. But I don't remember specifically everything through that day.
The allegation is that you said you treated patients and you didn't treat patients. Is there any truth to that allegation?
No. I was
Now, have you ever reported a patient that you didn't treat?
No.
Any insight as to why the patients don't remember receiving treatment?
I have not. Like, I've worked in skilled nursing facilities, and sometimes they're so, like, sometimes medicated that they don't remember me the next day. I go in the next day at the same place, and they don't remember me doing anything the previous day. So I don't know. I have no recollection on or why they would think I wouldn't do anything.
Were you disciplined by your employment because
no.
of this?
No. No.
Yeah, are you still working there?
Yes.
You're working for a company, but not necessarily that facility, correct?
No, sir. Yes, sir. I've been working for Concentric Healthcare.
And they subcontracted you out to this facility? Okay.
That's all I've done since I started. So I started with supplemental health care, and they're out of. That's what I think so hard on me. I don't have any, like, she was talking about on the phone. I don't have anybody to really talk to or about the rules and regulations and stuff like that, especially with doing with supervision and knowing your supervising therapist and knowing all this stuff. Because sometimes I go to a place and there's nobody there. I'm there by myself sometimes, and sometimes they don't even have any type of supervising therapist there, or I'm at this specific place, I didn't even get orientated to this place, so I had to pretty much go by the whim. So probably my fault for letting that happen to myself, but like I said, I was a new person. I was just off supervision, and I went to general supervision, and I didn't know I had to call the therapist each time before I treated somebody. That's why we got there 30 minutes before to do charts and stuff like that to see their plan of care and their short-term goals and long-term goals and appropriate my therapy towards those goals and everything like that.
So, Mr. Hester, I'm a PTA.
Yes, ma'am.
So normally, and I have done my home health, et cetera, normally you're given patients by a PT who feels it's appropriate for the PTA to treat those patients. So you know who your supervising physical therapist is. Can you explain to me how this has worked for you?
What do you mean?
Who's your supervising physical therapist?
Where?
Who's
at the place I go to?
No. Who gives you the patients to treat?
That is done. That's at the place that I go to. I'm just given a sheet of paper with people on it, and it says they're the person that actually evaluated the person, but it never gives me a supervising therapist, nothing like that.
Okay, so who's the person that has decided that those patients are appropriate for you to treat?
I have no idea. Probably the director of rehab of that facility.
But that's your responsibility to know?
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, but I don't.
So if you ran into trouble with, let's say you went in to treat a patient and you're looking at him and you're thinking, this doesn't seem right, I need to call someone, who would you call?
I call the director of rehab, and then they get in touch with the therapist every week. But I've never had a problem, so.
I'm still confused. So when you say contact the director of rehab, are you talking about the director of rehab of the company that you're employed by or
the facility I'm at,
where you're at?
The facility I'm at.
Okay. So there's a director of rehab at each facility.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They have, and that's who does all the, gives us all the patients. I don't think the therapist is, involved or have to do anything with that part of it. I think, like to be truthful, I think they just care about getting their minutes and for that time due to insurance reasons, and that's why they send like people like me, and somehow we're just supposed to go along with it, with what the facility does like that. So that's why I've always gotten there to my places 30 minutes before to do charting. To know what I was supposed to do and to know all the ailments and things like that. So things like no weight bearing or specific things like that that I know what I can't do during that treatment. But all it is it's in plan of care and their goals relation to stuff like that, but never given like a specific supervising therapist. But now that I know, I've been trying to call see who my supervising therapist before I even go to this facility now.
That's a good idea.
And then to know what my expectations are started for this patient. But it's still, sometimes, like I said, I go there on weekends and there's full-time staff and everybody already in there. Sometimes I go there and I'm by myself and just throw into the fire, I guess, what you said. But I'm learning as I go, fairly brand new. I think I'm doing my third year coming up in March, end of March. But it's before that, I was on supervision with the after therapist happened to be in the building. Mm-hmm. And then just so happens that at this place, like at that time, that was the time when I started my general supervision. Mm-hmm. And it was just nothing. But I didn't know that I had to call PT. I'm pretty sure probably 90% of the people don't do that anyway. So I don't know why this is being brought up just on my case. Really, well, probably because of this complaint or whatever, but I mean, it happens all the time, and I don't want to be a whistleblower or anything like that, but I'm not the only one out of everybody that just doesn't call anybody or anything like that before. Pretty sure whoever's PT's here don't get calls from PTAs when they work in a facility asking what they were doing.
I'm pretty sure they do.
We're specifically talking about this one facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you've been to a lot of facilities.
Yes.
Okay.
And I put my supervising therapist at the bottom of the page at most of them because they tell me who it is when I get there.
Oh, so at other facilities they do tell you, so you know who to contact.
Yeah, it was just this one.
Okay.
This one. And I believe she was a newer, she just had gotten to direct a rehab thing, and I never met this lady, and she doesn't know what I look like, so I don't know how she doesn't know that I wasn't there, or if I was even doing anything. I don't even think she was there that day. When she's told my employment agency that she wanted to meet me, and I said, where do you want to meet? And then my employment agency said, never mind, forget about it.
So is the director of rehabilitation a physical therapist, or you don't know?
I still haven't met her. I just know her by Miss Black because it was in my papers.
Okay.
That's it.
In this case, she was a nurse.
Okay. So you know who did the initial evaluation because it's in the chart, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, is it the same therapist that does all of them?
No, there's different ones.
There's different therapists?
Yep.
So it sounds like the therapist would come in, do the evaluation, and then it would be handed over to you.
It would be handed over to the director of rehab, to the rehab, whoever. I believe that's the way it goes. I don't know. I go to a place and get a paper and just.
Did you ever see a physical therapist there treating someone?
When I was there,
not doing an initial evaluation, but actually doing.
When I was there during the week, when I was there during like Monday through Friday, but on the weekends, it was just me and this other girl at time, and she was an OT and she was a travel person also. She was brand new place, I think also. So I don't know. I was there before when PTs were there. Yes.
Did you have orientation to the facility and how you were supposed to? Okay. I guess one of my major concerns is that with the investigative report, you have 10 patient notes here that are time stamped within 2 minutes of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to explain that?
That was when you go to apply kind of type of thing in the with the Med Optima or Optima Rehab Optima, you kind of can apply it and save it till the very end, and then you sign all the notes at the same time, at the very end.
Hmm.
So you write the notes at a different time.
Uh-huh.
So it took you longer than 2 minutes to write the notes.
Yes, yes,
but
of
you
course.
Submitted them all at the same time, so therefore the stamp was within 2 minutes.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Is that? Any particular reason why you do it that way?
That's the way I was told to do in other rehab optimal places. I wasn't told the a note, because it comes, like, if you do it, so you can also do a note and save it, or you can let it go, and it shows a red check mark or a green check mark if it's done all the way completely.
Right.
So I wait till all my green marks are all my patient things are green marked or checked, and then I go to a whole button at the bottom and go save now, and then it brings up a whole other thing, and then I have to sign my little password in, and then it does all of them at the same time. And that's the way I was told to do it at the facility. So I at other facilities where we have Optima, so this facility I did it also with that way.
Unfortunately, that just makes it very confusing for us to know what happened. I mean, I understand that, you know, one or two patients may not realize that you're there with them, but for 10 patients to not understand that you actually did work with them that day, that's a bit more of a concern for me. Do you have any thoughts? I mean, because for 10 complete patients, that said that you didn't see them that day?
Well, I don't know if she even went and did any type of investigation herself. So I don't know if she was investigated to where if she went in and did that, because I believe there was two Spanish-speaking patients that day also, and if she's not bilingual, how did she get to even talk to them? And there was also a couple of discharges that day, I believe, how she get to them before they had left the facility in the first place. So I don't know if she fibbed on her end of the bargain, or I don't know. I have no idea. I just know I was there. I don't ever mean to be like falsifying documentation like it says, but I'm not that way.
Because I'm still a little confused. Is your supervising physical therapist from the company that you work for, or just from the facility?
Facility you're at.
So it's hard. You're right. It's very hard to tell. I would guess that whoever did the initial vote note would be the supervising therapist for that patient. But since there's multiple therapists, then you'd have to know and have. Were you ever given numbers for these therapists to contact if you need those?
No.
Did they leave you notes? Like when you showed up, let's say you showed up on a weekend and they're not there. Did they leave you a note from Friday saying, oh, I'm Mrs. So-and-so, be careful of doing this?
No, sir.
It was just whatever was in the chart.
I got a paper with patients' names on it, like the 10 patients' names on it, and I go to chart each one, look at their long-term goals, short-term goals, and their plan of care, and appropriate my therapy towards that. That's all I had when I went there. And it's my fault for not being more informed and doing the whole checking in with people like that, but it's hard to call and do that stuff when I wasn't ever taught that way. I was told with general supervision they have to be within 15 minutes, like you have to call the other within a call. That's the main thing I got from general supervision.
But if you don't have their telephone number, how do you get?
Well, that's why I called. I got the director of therapy's numbers there, and then she can get in touch with me, and I can still, you know, but. Like I said, I believe I was
Mr. Hester, you should really get their phone number.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, I know now. I learned that with this. This is a big eye opener, big time.
Where did you go to school, if you don't mind me asking?
Brookline College.
Yeah. They didn't have a law class that you took.
Yeah, but it was never in there. You have to call the therapist every time before. It was not. I don't believe it was in there.
Really? That's unfortunate because, I mean, you know, a PT is supposed to look at the patient or, you know, delegate that it's okay for you to treat this patient. And, you know, you should really, if you're doing that type of work, have the therapist, supervising physical therapist name, their license number, and I always put their telephone number beside it in the note. Because you have to be able to contact them, because the director might not even be a PT. You're not supposed to work under the direction of a nurse.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, the director of the rehab are PTs or OTs.
Or OT either.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay. Well, yeah. I think you need to change the way you treat patients according to the law.
Yeah, but to be clear, there are other facilities that you've gone to where it's run very differently.
Yes.
You know exactly who you're
with, I've never been, like, this is the first time I've heard of a director of rehab being a nurse also. So it's always been one of the therapy people, like PT or OT. Therefore, it's easier to get in touch with them that way.
Okay, I think I have a little bit better idea of this, supervising PT and documentation, et cetera. But I'm, like Karen, I'm still kind of confused. How can no one saw you, or at least no one said they saw you all day. They didn't see you in the morning. They didn't see you in the gym, even though you said you were in the gym. They didn't see you in the afternoon. All 10 patients said, no, I never got physical therapy from anyone.
There was only one other therapist there that day.
And that therapist didn't see you.
Well, this, I told them I was doing room treats up there, up on the floors, and it's a 3-level facility, so I don't know. Maybe we missed each other at times. I left at different times. She didn't get there till probably 11 or 12 or something like that. So I have no idea.
Yeah, and the patients are a puzzle to you too. I mean, how can all 10 of them not remember you?
I have no idea. Like I said, when I went to the facilities, I do my work and I leave. So I don't know why this would come up. I've worked so many other different places, and it baffles me myself that nobody knows I was there.
Do you remember talking to any of the nurses on the floor, either CNAs or...
That's what I said at the beginning.
About, you go in to see Mrs. Jones, and Mrs. Jones is not feeling very well. You go back to the nursing and say, yeah, what's up with her? Did any of that occur that day?
That's why at the beginning, I spoke to the director of nursing talking to me about my badge.
But you didn't interact with any other nurses?
No, I've never.
Family members?
Hardly ever do, most times. Especially on Sundays when it's early, and like most of them don't like have visitors on Sundays most of the time.
I would have thought Sunday would be the best time to visit.
Well, not
at least, okay. At least not the times you're there.
Yeah, right? Not in the nursing facility most of the time. They mostly try to come during the week. Because they want their own time on the weekends.
On your documentation, did you write everyone kind of every note from scratch, or did you copy and paste from one note to the next?
Sometimes I copy and paste, because with skilled nurse facilities, they're about the same exercises, because they go from maybe acute care, like they're doing hip abduction, LAQs, glute squeezes, all those things are almost practically the same throughout all of, like, 1 through 7. So I stick with that scenario and do that at all of them. And I've never been told anything different at any other place, so I just kept doing with the same thing. It changes sometimes when I knew, like, what they had problems with doing something or something like that, but I don't believe all of them exactly the same.
The plan of care would list those exercises?
They would say general lower extremity strengthening.
So it kind of left you to what
yes,
muscles to do or which exercises to do?
Yes, sir. Unless there's weight-bearing restrictions, or because I have to appropriate to those measures.
Were all the patients with a similar diagnosis?
No, they're all different.
So if somebody had a stroke, you would essentially do the same exercise if somebody had a knee arthroplasty?
That would be with, like, with stroke patients. They sometimes come paraplegic, so that one side of their body's mad. So I'll do, like, passive range of motion with that leg. I'll do LAQs with this leg, but then do passive range of motion with that, with doing the same motion with that leg, the other leg. And I usually put it in documentation also.
It seems a little odd that, I mean, and some of the things we have says that you treated a patient with the new step, which is in the gym, but nobody in the gym ever remembers seeing you in there. How do you think that happened?
There's only one other therapist there, and that's it. And she could have been doing something else at that time. I have no idea. This baffles me myself. I'm still... I've been brain rolling over this since this thing came.
So, from where I sit at this juncture, it seems to me that there's support for these violations. So one of them is failing to maintain adequate records. Are you aware of that allegation?
Yeah.
So for 10 patients with different diagnoses, they all have more or less the exact same subjective, objective statements. They were all signed on the same date, and then they were all signed within basically minutes of one another. So that to me is concerning. Like I said, the notes are basically identical throughout. The other allegation is that you provided substandard care, which again, since none of the patients seem to have seen you, none of the staff has seemed to have seen you, your manager couldn't get in contact with you, and you didn't seem to have a mechanism to get in contact with them, to me is concerning and may support this allegation.
How did the manager, I said I talked to the manager.
Okay. Right, but you said you didn't, about your badge, right, but you said you didn't have knowledge of your supervisor,
said,
physical
you
therapist.
Said my manager, like the person that called me to the place? No, I meant the person that called me, like the guy from the employment agency called me and asked me where I was, and I was in contact with him.
Okay, but
the department, the director of rehab, which you're talking about, that's that the manager you're talking about?
Yes, the department, the DOR.
Oh, I was in contact with my person, the employment agent guy, and he told me not to, to worry about it because I said, where does she want me to meet him? We'll meet her at in the facility, and she never. He said, never mind.
So the DOR never contacted you personally, saying, I want to meet with you.
No.
It came through the company.
Yes.
Okay. When you do your chart review before you see the patients, do you notice a change in the plan of care after so many different visits?
Not most of the time, because they're pretty much new. They're pretty much within the first week when I usually see them at that place.
Mm-hmm. The
I think they give me the new people so I can be so plain Jane and do all those exercises with them. I believe, I don't know why. It just so happens that I always get that certain type of patient.
Are you going to change the way you work now because of this?
Oh, yes, ma'am, I have, yeah. Yes. Well, when I...
What are you going to do? Tell me.
Well, when I get there, I'm going to know my supervisor and therapist. And if that's the law, because she, Ms. Karen told me that's part of the thing, to call the person and get to know, like, to know what I need to do with that certification.
Mm-hmm.
If there's not one, if he's not there at the facility at the first place. A lot of maybe I don't know about changing the workout things because it's pretty much cookie cutter with what we do with the people at a certain point in time with their therapy that you can only do certain things. So I don't know what else to do besides that. But I've been doing better, but I haven't had any more of these skilled nursing facilities. Lately, I've been an outpatient more with the therapists there, and they tell me what to do. And recently, haven't had anything whatsoever because of the whole new insurance thing. So they're kicking all PTAs out of different places. So I don't know.
The insurance,
Medicare changes.
All Medicare.
And I'm surprised. I would think that there might be more PTAs.
I know what that's what I've been feeling. Less expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. When was the last time you were at this Life Care Center?
I believe it was that day, I believe.
That was the last time you were at this facility?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the DOR said go
never even called me. They said she sent to the deployment agency and said that I don't wanna, don't come back to the facility.
Oh, so she communicated it to your employer.
I never talked to her. Never.
I don't know if this director of rehab exists. So no one's ever seen her. No one's ever. I guess she does. Any last questions?
Sure. What continuing ed have you taken recently?
I haven't taken any because we weren't required to have any before just recently. I think the last 4 months, they said we needed 10 continuing education courses by the next time we go for our licensing renewal. But I know I was thinking maybe going into the law part, like especially with like the supervision laws because of this problem. Because I was a pretty good student too, and I don't remember anything ever saying that you have to call the therapist prior to. Never, I've never read anything about that. So maybe that's my fault. Being young and dumb, I guess, I don't know.
Alright. Everybody good? This is the end of our questions, most of the time. Sometimes, every once in a while, somebody makes a question again. But would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes, sir.
Alright. So then we will move into deliberation. The board will discuss the matter. If we have questions, we'll let you know, but generally we won't. Okay. So what is everyone thinking at the moment?
I'm thinking this whole thing is shoddy.
All right, so
in what way?
What is Mr. Hester's role in that shoddiness?
Well, I think Mr. Hester had a responsibility to know how he should be his physical therapist assistant, whether he was adequately taught or not. That's your responsibility. And I think it's your responsibility to inform people that are trying to not do it correctly that they should do it correctly. Because it seems like there's a lot of errors going on in the whole company.
There are ways we can handle that. Okay. But think about findings of fact. So what do we know? What do we believe? Despite what the documentation said, I believe Mr. Hester that he was completely clueless on needing to be able to contact a supervisor, therapist, and that he did shortcut documentation. Absolutely.
Even though in his other employment in other agencies, he had a different example of how to do it.
Yeah. And that he. his notes are pretty much cookie cutter.
Yeah.
And their patients can be very similar, and so you can do very, very similar things, but they're not all the same. So is that, do you think that he did that conscientiously, or did he or did he just take the shortcut? As soon as I get my notes done, I'm gone.
Yeah, but that goes to the issue, did he actually see the patients?
Well, I don't know what to do with that. That's a strange one.
It goes hand in hand. You know, if you say these are all cookie cutters and he didn't see the patients, then that makes sense. If he saw the patients and he has these cookie cutters documentation, that's a different issue. You know,
I think both ways, Mr. Cullen. I think you could see the patient still have a cookie cutter.
Right, but that's two different things.
So it's hard
is he covering up not seeing the patients, or are he just doing cookie cutter documentation?
I just don't know.
Yeah, and, you know, it's...
And
yeah.
I think there's a lot of cookie cutting going on.
So he's admittedly overworked. And he's admittedly overworked. He's working every day at some facility. And so cookie cutting your notes is going to be a quicker way to end your day, for sure. But yeah, I am seriously struggling with if he saw the patients or didn't.
And plus, no one actually spoke to him in person about this issue. So there's no documentation, conversation to back that up.
So for me, ARS 3220-4420, failing to maintain adequate patient records, for me, I think there's support for this in that the majority of the documentation is basically the same for every patient, every diagnosis on that date of service. Additionally, their time dates stamped within minutes of one another, and he doesn't have the documenting, he did not document the name of the supervising physical therapist. So for me, I find there to be facts to substantiate that allegation. For 3220-44-5, substandard care, you know, again, to me there seems to be support for this. No one saw him. None of the 10 patients recall. He reports that he didn't have any communication with any supervising physical therapists for that date of service. As such, I think 3224-4413, unreasonable and fraudulent fees, there's support for that because I'm not sure he saw these 10 patients. I'm not convinced that he did. So I think billing someone you didn't see.
I agree with you, except it almost sounds like he goes into the facility, there's no one around, there's no one paying any attention to him, there's no one to say whether he saw him or did not see him. I mean, that's fault with the whole organization.
Except you have 10 patients. You said
yeah, 10 mm-hmm. patients. If
he really did not see those 10 patients, then I'm thinking maybe this ought to be a formal hearing. I mean, do we want a PTA who says and charges 10 people for therapy but didn't see any of them? So
how are we going to prove that?
10 patients.
Well, we have testimony from 10 individuals, and they all seem to be cognitively very aware. He says he's new. I would say he's naive, but more than likely his education did include this. It just went over his head. But we've had a lot of physical therapists who go, oh, what, we need to do that too?
This is true.
So,
motion to have Mr. Hester complete 6-hour documentation.
Right, but we have to first start with
the findings of fact.
Yeah. Right, findings of fact and then conclusions of law. And when you take a look at your informal hearing brief, if there's additional information that you'd like to include, such as Ms. Remick included the date and time stamped as within 2 minutes of each other on all 10 charts under failing to maintain adequate patient records, I believe there's sufficient notice within this entire report to maybe include additional information for the findings of facts.
So it would be under factual allegations, it would be A.
So that's the law. So your factual allegations are the numbers underneath the statute. So, for example, under A, you have two. B, you have two. C, you have one. D, you have two.
So I would include that, both of those.
Under A.
Under A.
Mm-hmm.
B, charge unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed without the form. C, made misleading, excessive entry or fraudulent representation in violation of this chapter. Which states the 10 daily treatment notes. And D, with the two sentences under it.
Can I make additional findings? I'd also propose that in addition to those findings, we find that the facility conducts an investigation after March 24th, 2019 and before April 10th, 2019, in which they interviewed each of the 10 patients. None of the patients recall receiving physical therapy services on March 24th, 2019. I'd also like to find that all of the patient notes 10 patients were submitted between 8:11 p.m. and 8:12.
It's 8:11 and 45 seconds and 8:11 and 46 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So,
is that under?
Yeah,
is
that,
I,
that, that's correct. Yeah.
If I'm reading this correctly.
I also find that no one in the facility saw Mr. Hester at the facility on March 24, 2018 until 6:15 p.m. and he was seen entering the facility.
6:15 p.m.
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 Wasn't p.m. He left leaving, right?
No, he was doing his notes at that time.
Because the OT said that he came in at 6:15 and then she told him to turn off the lights when he was done.
That's 6:15
p.m. Okay.
So they're both 6:15. I stand corrected.
Mr. Greer, I'm unsure if I heard this, but did you include that all patients were alert and oriented?
That's a finding in the investigation, yes.
Okay. Yes, that would be found on page 5
yeah.
under life care sentence, and it's the 5th bullet from the bottom.
Second. All right, further discussion on the findings of fact. All right, that's a call question.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Kling?
Yes.
Findings of fact are accepted.
Okay, so now conclusions.
So now we state the violations.
Conclusion
of
the law.
Second, any discussion on the the conclusions of law?
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Klim?
Yes.
Conclusions of law are adopted.
Okay. Now we move to
course, 6-hour documentation course would be beneficial, Mr. Hester. ethics course.
How many hours?
Usually 6 hours, Dr. Donahue.
You can pick the hours.
And a 1 year probation with the ability to request early termination.
What about retaking the AZ lung exam?
If you would like to suggest that, that would be fine.
That's my suggestion.
Can you accept that one?
I would.
Okay.
I would also like to add a 6 hour geriatric physical therapy.
Sorry, Karen, did you say geriatric?
Type of course.
Mm-hmm. Geriatric?
Geriatric.
Mm-hmm.
Because not all patients should be treated the same.
That's a lot up to the PT, though.
Yeah.
But it seems that he's given a lot of leeway in particular picking particular exercises.
But then that would improve communication between the PTA and the PT.
How long would you like that to re-enter?
I'm happy with 6 hours.
Noted, they should be done in person.
Yes, and Mr. President, members of the board, are these in addition to his continuing education requirements? I know that it's new to him since he is a PTA, since the law has changed. So would you want these, I believe it would be 18 hours to be in addition to the 10 hours that he'll have to do by September 1?
They're concurrent.
Okay.
But he would have to complete them before his renewal.
Correct.
For the
before
August.
At least 10 of them.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
So the motion before you is a 1 year probation in which Mr. Hester would be required to do 6 hours geriatric treatment, the AZ law exam, 6 hours of documentation, 6 hours of ethics. Are you ready for the question?
Who's seconding?
I believe you do.
Cool.
Actually, who?
Second.
Okay, thank you. I didn't have that.
I just didn't remember.
No, I've heard it.
Sorry. Are you ready for the question? Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Ms. Hunter?
Yes.
Dr. Pistillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Ms. Remick?
Yes.
Mr. Clinton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. This concludes, I'm sure you might have questions, but the staff would be happy.